And we welcome our comedians. And today it's To Radar and Justine Smith. Hello, both of you.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Oh, there we go. Hello.
Hello. How's you, Justine?
Hello. Hello from West Auckland. I'm great, thank you. I'm doing good.
Let's go. We need to just turn you up a little bit, I reckon, is all.
Do you want to kick...
That has never been said to Justine before in the history of her career.
Guilty as charged.
You're such a wit, Radar.
Oh, thanks. Because I'm still living in the future. Still on daylight savings time. I'm just steadfastly refusing to go back. There's nothing that brings me more pleasure in West Auckland than getting up in the dark and going to sleep while it's still light. I enjoy it. I'm a very early sleeper.
You may never fully reconnect with civilization.
No, it makes me feel like I'm a little kid when I go to bed early. I love it.
It is one of those things. I don't know that I want to reconnect with civilization. I've kind of I'm enjoying my enforced lockdown. I just get to stay at home and read about all the other things that people are doing. I was going to talk about all the crazy world records that people have been setting in their sort of quarantine scenarios around the world, but it's all just too much effort. I like a little story that Justine sent me. A woman in Indiana lost her purse and someone's found it, and that's a pretty typical story. The only thing was that she lost her purse in 1954. And now, 65 years later, Justine, it's turned up.
Oh, it's so cute, too. You know, I'm reading this article, the woman was called Marty, right? Now, any woman in 1954 called Marty, I want to be friends with. You know, I could imagine her in a little poodle skirt. Yeah, so she lost it, and then she got it back. And the cutest part was, she was quite a popular gal around school, old Marty, because she had three letters from three different boys asking her to the prom. What a player. And also the cute thing was that she got in touch with a couple of them, 65 years later, just to say hello. Adorable. And one of the guys was called Torchy. Come on. It sounds like Greece or something. It should be a musical.
It does, and there was a lovely letter as well, because they had the three little letters in the purse, and once this sort of became famous, they said, you know, that someone found it when the school was renovated, and then they said Facebook did its thing, so I guess, can only guess, it corrupted democracy, and then it turned up this woman. One of the letters was, Dear Marty, I've heard that Paul has asked you to go to the prom with him. If he hasn't, I would very much like to take you. Love, Torchy. And of course, suddenly everyone's saying, who's Torchy? Did Torchy get to go to the prom? So for people just wanting this little bit of mystery to be solved, you know, who got to take it to the prom? And eventually it was someone called, one of the other guys, Carter Williams, and they tracked him down, and you know, he hasn't really seen her since they broke up at the end of high school. But you sort of wonder, you know, was Torchy still out there holding a metaphorical torch, just waiting outside the prom for her to turn up? 65 years.
I reckon Torchy's all right, I reckon. It's weird too, it reminded me, because, you know, staying at home, I haven't really used, like, my handbag. You know, it's just been sitting in the corner of my bedroom. It's weird.
Mine's the same. You sort of, it's a strange thing. I went and sat in my car the other day and turned, couldn't remember how to turn it on. I was like, She also had five tickets in her purse for an Italian spaghetti dinner at Everest Episcopal Church, and they were 75-cent tickets, and she wondered if they were still valid. I would hope that if Everest Episcopal Church is still around, they honoured the spaghetti dinner tickets.
Oh, that makes me want a spaghetti dinner.
So your handbag, I have sympathies with the handbag thing. Normally something that you surgically attach to and have major sort of separation anxiety from, and it's just sitting in the corner of the room looking useless, being useless.
There it was.
It's where all my lipsticks are, because I certainly haven't needed them.
It's the other one, the makeup kit. Just sitting there, just unless you're doing a Zoom and you slap a bit on so you don't look as bad as you do otherwise on Zoom.
I hear that.
You've got to be careful. There's been a lot of bad Zoom stories this week. There was a reporter in Spain who was doing a live cross, and then in the background, unbeknownst to him, I don't think she had very much on at all, woman walked across the background of the shot, and eagle-eyed viewers went, wait a second, that's not the famous girlfriend that he's supposed to be with. Who's this mysterious woman? Oh, well, we do know her because she's another journalist on the channel. What's she doing in his house? So, you know, you do have to be a little bit careful.
Yeah, you do have to be careful, because my husband is still working full-time and he has a lot of Zoom meetings, and office, you know, office slash toy cupboard. And, you know, I went in the other day in a short robe and I didn't realise it was dope. And then I just ended having to kind of back away like I was some kind of weird servant because I didn't want to turn around because I thought my buttock might be revealed. So I had to put the cup of tea down and then back out like I was really subservient. It was weird.
Did you have that strange kind of pause, the awkward pause, where people can watch you thinking about what it is that you're going to do and make that kind of decision, and then you sort of, where you think, if I just back out, no one will actually see me?
Yeah, I was like a kid playing hide and seek. I literally went, if I don't look at the screen, they can't see me. So I looked at the ceiling and just backed out. I must have looked insane.
Well, people are used to it.
At least it was your actual husband. And yes. Your actual spouse.
That is a good point. Yeah, and my actual house. Yes, that is a good point. Not as scandalous. Yeah, that is bad. But, you know, good.
Yeah.
Good for getting busted. What a dog.
Yeah. And this week, of course, people have been out, and there's been a lot of brouhaha around the fact that people have been queuing up for fast food outlets, and oh, it's atrocious, and it's a scandal, and it's various things. In Belgium, quite the opposite; they're actually being strongly encouraged. Apparently, they've got 750,000 ton of potato that are at risk of being thrown away, and so they're calling upon the government to urge the populace to eat fries at least twice a week. Can you imagine it?
Honestly, it's a really bad combination of people in lockdown being offered fries. It's like I'm trying to exercise, I'm trying to be good, but at the end of the day, fries. You know, I've been to Belgium, I've had those fries. They're not normal. They are next level delicious.
Now they serve them with mayo, don't they? Like a mayo fry.
Yeah, they are a mayo fry, and they come in like a cone, basically like a newspaper cone. They're so good.
Like a fry ice cream or something.
They're not allowed any ice cream unless they eat their fries. It's a government mandate.
You know, when you're forced to eat something yummy, though, that's when you go, oh, it's not that great after all. It's kind of reverse psychology, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I certainly haven't been lining up for KFC and McDonald's, but then I don't have children. You know, I have a lot of sympathy. I think that if you have kids, you know, and also for them, my husband was telling me, you know, for some kids it's a marker. It's a moment where things are returning to normal. So, you know, I'd be like putting up with sitting in the queue for peace, actually, probably, you know.
I actually thought about just leaving. I haven't left the house for the entire time. I just wanted to go out and look at the queues because Lincoln Road, we're both out west, Juzzy, you know, the queue around Lincoln Road. I wanted to go out the other day, a little while ago, to see the queue for our bottle stores. And it's just sort of there's now going to be a queue to see the queue, and then there'll be a queue to see that queue because people have got a lot of time on their hands. Look, my favourite story of the entire thing, there's a library in Suffolk and it got a deep cleanse, and then whoever was the cleaner carefully put all the books back on the shelves, ignored the Dewey Decimal System, lined them up in order of height. Librarians aghast.
I just
love it.
This is a fundamental misunderstanding of how libraries work. Like, this is just, I mean, bless her heart. You know, Sikki, she's doing something great. You know, that'd be someone's dream, though, is putting all those back in alphabetical order. You know, those weird
color-coded
people who are organizing things.
Because you can see now in the Zoom meetings, you know, the people, how they stack their books. Some people have them color-coded. Some people have them by height or by category. Some alphabetize them. But I just like the fact, I love the chance of then going into a library and then it is serendipitous discovery of a book. You're going to go, I'm going to go to the mid-height books and I'm going to choose four.
It'll happen, you guys. Tarada and Justine Smith, thank you so much for your company.